That's that. We gotta do something about that corner.
Bill Stone was fun. The world was begun. And the stars were arranged in their patterns and rhymes. The song was passed down with its rhythms and its sounds. And its words could be heard only outside of time. As the melody escaped us, we fell into a well in an underground cove, deep in the hidden grove. We were worshipping and murdering and seeking for ourselves in a last spiral dance. Now's our one chance to reach out for joy, to reach solid stone, to reach the one romance, to reach the wide expanse of freedom. We've somehow always known. The millstone breaks, the earth quakes. Some will feel fear, some elation. We can see it now, for the grove must bow to the one song's crescendoing vibration. In life's spiral dance, now's our one chance to reach out for joy, to reach solid stone, to reach the one romance, to reach wide expanse of freedom, to reach somehow always known. Foundations, everything must fall. Gonna shake all the nations, break down all the walls. He's rolling the scroll up, the story's through. I can see it in me now, I can see it in you. Shake the foundations, everything must fall. Gonna shake all the nations, break down all the walls. He's rolling the scroll up, the story's through. See it in me now, see it in you.
Since I've been thinking about tabernacles all day, can we sing the tabernacle song? We'll destroy the neighborhood with this.
What page is it on?
16, 16. I got it because I got the index.
We don't have the.
We don't have the thingy.
Magic, it's the turbo index.
Where's who's the got the?
What is it you stole?
The what?
You're practicing the. How do you practice with a tambourine?
That's what I asked.
She walks around. You watch a lot of old Archie shows.
Hey, hey, with the mics.
Hey, Shaggy.
What have you wrought? Is this is your wife you're responsible for?
I'm responsible.
You're responsible for practicing with a tambourine?
I haven't done yet, I'm still.
Jesus Christ is in
it. She's not working.
I'm crucified.
Yeah, does this have anything to do with your new waterbed?
That's a good
thing. She's learning how to swing.
The wine and the water, the light that we bring. Now may the daughters of Israel sing. Come forth from your houses of leaves and of clay. Feel the joy rising as we enter that day. Today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. by the firelight. Come and dance with me, blazing in the night. The fire grows. Come and shout and sing, make the mountains ring, while our hearts beat high. Come and sing and shout, laugh and turn about, while the flames touch the sky. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. By the firelight, come and dance with me, blazing in the night, the fire grows. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Ground them.
to tears at the threshing floor. When the reaping is done and the wheat sheaves are gathered, the ox is through grinding and the husk has been shattered. Wind rushes down up high on the hill. The old shaft is scattered and the new sheaf lies still on the threshing floor. Stars above Bethlehem mirrored the seed that was scattered and rich about the horizon sea. When he was awakened, the beauty found was Ruth, the young maiden that love had brought down to the threshing floor. God's judgment had ravished the city of Zion. 70,000 lay dead or dying. 3 days was enough to quench King David's pride. So the death angel lowered his sword in his stride at the threshing floor. When the reaping is done and the wheat sheaves are gathered, the ox is through grinding and the husk has been shattered. Wind rushes down up high on the hill. The old shaft is scattered, and the sea lies still on the threshing floor. King Solomon built God a house on that land, but the ultimate harvest of all he had planned was 120 who had gathered together and felt the first rush of his winnowing fan at the threshing floor. This is what Daniel, the prophet, had seen of the stone that was cut without hands in the dream. And all that was left when the idol was smashed were the pieces of kingdoms thrown off like the chaff on the threshing floor. Sheaves are gathered, and the ox is through grinding, and the husk has been shattered, and the wind rushes down up high on the hill. The old chaff is scattered, and the seed lies still on the threshing floor. On the threshing floor. On the threshing floor.
Well, I've been thinking about the tabernacle most of the day because we're writing a letter to the Biblical Arts Center about building the tabernacle. And the idea that the tabernacle that was built 3,500 years ago or whatever is parable or a picture of the overriding reality that's around us now. And I began to see it more clearly than I ever have about the things that were going on inside it. And I'm more and more anxious for us to do the tabernacles study or the seminar that we've been talking about. It's never, you know, it was only felt right before because it was in the order of the 3-year cycle, but now it seems like we have to do it. So, but we'll wait until Harry gets back. For years and years and years and years, you individually and we as a body have been trying God stuff with all of these false high place identities. And there's been the desire to be yielded, to hear, to understand, to be at peace. But everything that happened, every little hormone that jumped up inside you, or every little thing that happened in your life, or every little dealy that took place, Now what's going on?
Oh,
they just
oh, just the jumping hormone. Make a great little song, you know. Every little hormone.
Criswell doesn't have to put up with this shit.
He doesn't say shit.
He doesn't talk about hormones.
Probably apply till they call it different pheromones.
What's your point?
This too shall pass.
These people will go home.
Next
verse
is a test.
Anyway.
It's only a test.
It's going to become minor prophets night in a minute.
It sounded like a rehearsal.
Are you rehearsing?
Yeah, sure. But the point is that you've had the desire, this is the Romans 7 experience, you've had the desire to do something, to be something different, and the inability to do it. And some of you didn't have any idea what you wanted to do anyway, but you're just sort of hanging around. But with the destruction of the identity, I mean, it's hard for us to imagine this thing we've been studying, that you have never been an independent self. No one on the face of the earth is. They're all a vessel. And they're a vessel for either the God of this world or the God of eternity. Jesus said, "You are of your father, the devil." You don't believe that, nobody believes it. They crucified him for saying it. And until that identity, which is of the devil, is destroyed by the cross, then all you can have is the desire for something. You can, but everything about you will become totally and completely self-seeking. I promise you that now you are going to begin to see a mystery take place in your lives. Without you being aware of it, you are going to begin to be concerned with someone else instead of yourself. You are going to begin to be more concerned with someone else's welfare than yours. And at the instant that you truly begin praying for someone else, then your captivity is turned. Now the reason that Job, if any of you have read Job lately, and I'm convinced this happened to him, that Job had to go through all of the experiences that he went through to destroy his high place identity, his false self. Now, you think the hot seat was rough? Read Job. The hot seat is mercy.
Amen.
And now, by his grace, your minds will be turned, and you will begin to pray for and be concerned with someone else besides you. And in that moment, you will be free. And all of the desires of your heart will be fulfilled. Whap! And you won't even know about it. It's a mystery. I promise you that's set before you. There's nothing you can do to stop it.
Thank God.
But think of all of the years that you've been so consumed with self that you couldn't see anything else. And even when you studied God stuff, it was only as how it applied to self. Yeah. And everything in the world only enhanced that. How you can get better, how you can do this, how you can do that. And all of it was bullshit. All your religious experience, all of your training, all of your education, all of your interpersonal relationships, all your family relationships have failed. If they wouldn't have failed, you wouldn't have been here.
I just got an image of Betty Davis in a movie, and you know, she's just old, she's an old rotting movie star, and she's just trying to, she puts on makeup and just tries to do all these things, but she's still this old rotting bitter lady. You
know? Yeah. But now a mystery is taking place. And I thank God we didn't have to go through what Job did. I'd hate to have the dogs licking my boils.
They
thought of some other part of what he went through to give us an example. It's
all bad.
That's a beast thing.
That was the fun part.
Yeah, I had a picture today of...
Dogs licking your boils?
No. Of the world, you know, as... Like the world when it was first created as a... as something attractive. It's like so old now. It's like, a, you know, an old world. Trying to, you know, lure you away with all the, you know, all the stuff it's been through and all the failings that it's become apparent, you know. It's to be, you know, even still, we're
going
to
be more and more
sucked back into it.
The creation itself is groaning. Waiting.
Remember when we were talking about the stars last night, about the light, the thing they found in space that was 5 billion light years away or something?
It was bigger than the Milky Way.
And it, all of a sudden, well, I mean, it's not like I haven't thought about it before, but I just suddenly realized that the light we're seeing is the light from the beginning
of time.
Of time, and for all we know, the stars could have already been wiped out.
Yeah, right. That's what we're talking about.
They already are wiped out.
It's like we're just... quits coming, then that's when the stars fall.
But the stars, I know that the stars that we see are gone, and the edges of space are rolling up like a scroll.
Curved space.
It's interesting. Did you see on the news?
Yes,
before last year.
Ripping time. Ripping space that the scientists see.
Yeah, there's a
that's
brand new.
That's what I was
talking
about.
Yeah,
talking about that.
A rip? What?
But the interesting thing about that is they said that it's
a rip in space.
Yeah, it's an optical illusion. It's a reflection of something. It's they know it's not what they're looking at, but rather a reflection of something else.
Right. But all of God doesn't want any more human beings. God doesn't want any more people to come to the group. God doesn't want any more human beings out there. God doesn't want us going to evangelize. As we walk in our world and we will speak, and therefore people will come, and that's great. That's wonderful. God will add.
Amen.
But you don't ever have to be concerned with convincing anybody. Amen. Your life is the convincing. Just as I'm not, you know, we didn't even take this stuff for years because you were the letters. But my point is to you that in your obedience, you're causing that roll-up. Just as Noah, through his obedience, condemned the world.
I was thinking of, you know, of stuff Johnny's starting to write, you know. And he brings the stuff in, and, you know, and I look at it, and I, you know, I'm looking at how he's learning how to do this stuff. But I don't hang on to that stuff, you know.
Right.
I mean, I might keep one just for, you know, to see, you know, if there's going to be years later, I'll look back. But, you know, you don't hang on to the stuff. It's just little stuff. But, you know, it's like all the stuff when we were first starting out, you know, why do anything with it? Yeah. You know, we're sitting around yelling at each other for years. It was very necessary.
For 8 years, we yelled at each other.
But
you realize that?
8 years.
7.5, 9.5, 4, 8, 5, 8, 9, 4, 8. But it's at a certain point, it becomes something that other people, you know, might speak. And that's what's
happening. Everybody stop yelling at you.
But as I told you so often, the New Jerusalem, that which is perfect, that which in which there are no tears, that in which there is no cause and effect, that in which it's God's good pleasure to give you all things freely, is our overriding reality. It's surrounding us, and we can't escape it because it's outside of time and space. Therefore, wherever we go, it is.
Amen.
And in the Jerusalem, in which all perfection exists, in which there are, as we've talked last night, there are sunsets that do not fade. It's the ultimate beauty. The beauty that you can see now is only a vain shadow of the beauty that exists. The things that you desire here are only a vain. Gold is what most people desire, and it's so common there that it's the streets are paved with it. But it's our overriding reality, if you had eyes to see, if you can see the rip in time. And God, through His Spirit, has been destroying you to permit you to see the rip in time. And religion is running around saying, oh, no, no, you're supposed to be good, and here's how to do it, and here's how to get better, and here's how to fix your life up. And God's saying, you dumb fuck, whap, and He's destroying you again so that you can see the rip in time, so that you can see that you need nothing, that the new Jerusalem is our overriding reality and has always been there. And now everything outside the east gate of that Jerusalem is the Valley of Hinnom. There are only three things in life. There's the New Jerusalem, there's the Valley of Hinnom, and then there's a high place that sticks up in the Valley of Hinnom, and that's Golgotha, where Christ was crucified. Everything else is gone. Now, we've seen your high place identities destroyed with Christ. Now you know what He means when He says, you are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, if you're crucified, you're dead. That's not some, you know, interesting philosophical concept. You're dead. The only thing that God has permitted to remain with the appearance of life is this mind, this lying mind that tells you, well, if only I had this, then I would be happy. Or if only I could be over here, then I would be happy. Or if only I had that woman, then I'd be happy. Or if only I had that man, then, and speaking for some, not me, but then I would be happy if only I had something else. And that mind is the Antichrist. Your mind is the Antichrist. And now we've seen it destroyed. Not that you're dumb, but you've taken all intelligence out to its final end. And you've seen through it to see true revelation, which is not time dependent. Okay, now we've entered the New Jerusalem. It's our over. We can never escape it. Now, everything from this second past has but one place, and that's in the Valley of Hinnom, or in Gehenna, which is the dump for the New Jerusalem, which the New Testament calls hell. Now, the only thing that can keep you from becoming the fullness that God desires is you retaining images, you retaining ideas. You desire to know where you're going. Because from now on, it's only faith that pleases God. And faith always demands you don't have any idea what's going to happen next. So it's time that we as a body destroyed the images that you have about God stuff. I don't care what thing you think about with regard to what God should be like, or the body should be like, or I should be like, it's wrong. Because it's an enemy of faith. If you have a preconceived notion of something, it's wrong. You can't be right. You can't win.
Something happened today that made me see this real vividly, because Josiah and I were talking and having an argument about something that's gone wrong with our car. And so we were having an altercation. And
I was... You had an altercation with sweet Josiah.
I can't believe it.
She had a...
Oh! He was beating her.
No. In her own sweet little way, she was telling me that I was a bastard. At least that's the way I interpret it. But what I'd done was say, well, it'd be nice if we're thinking about the Lincoln, you know, the car that we got from my father-in-law. I said, maybe we could just, you know, it'd be nice if we could just give it back to him and he would do this. And after the course of this conversation, it became clear that even thinking that, not actively pursuing it, or, you know, or even working towards it, just the idea that something would be nice if that happened, it's like, well, for one thing, it's like it's a little fantasy world, that I all of a sudden I've created there to ease the pain of the present situation or something. But it's also, I finally, after she was talking, I wasn't hearing much she was saying, but finally I remember what you said the other night about being God's counselor.
Right.
And even that, it's like, I think it would be nice if that happened. Well, God might do something, you know, 80 times better than that. And but I, my counsel to him would be to let that happen, and that's ridiculous.
Right.
To get into that position is, you know, it's,
right.
It's terrible.
That's good, because
so,
that's...
wow, it was a heavy-duty thing.
That's great. That's wonderful, because that's, you know, I've told you, the word, when Christ said, deny yourself, it means, it doesn't mean to stop doing something. It means to take no thought for yourself at all.
Yeah.
Take no thought for your plans, what you're going to do next. I know.
Yeah, this wasn't
gonna...
even a plan. It was just kind of a...
Well, it was a plan.
Know, but a plan.
It was telling God what to do. But it was telling God what to do.
Yeah.
Any time that you say, oh, I think this would be neat if this happened, if we could do this, you're telling God what to do. God says, you dummy, just abandon yourself to my perfect love.
Yeah.
Every desire of your heart's fulfilled. But you got to know, you know, all of you know by now, that everything in life, your parents, your religion, your education, your society, your government, everything in life is an enemy of it. That's why we're going to have a great Mother's Day speech. Mothers, mothers are rotten.
Rotten now?
Rotten to the core.
But break the infantry.
Yes. They're always telling what to do.
Because mothers always tell you what to do.
Amen.
And it's the enemy of faith.
Mothers are such
bodies. The thing that this says about Mary, you know, the one quote, it's like, whatever he would have you do, do it, or something like that. I forget what it is, but it's like the opposite of what mothers generally or parents, you know, have the...
Your mother, according to the scriptures, is the New Jerusalem. Your father called no man on earth father. And now you can be free to see your parents as human beings. You're not bound to them because you've been... those ties with that imagery have been cut. And you can... they're people now. Not some image, not a board of elders that's behind you... you know, on a star chamber thing, you don't have to put up with that anymore.
I was looking at Johnny the other day, and trying to see him as, you know, as something other than a son, just as a, you know, a kid that's growing up in my house, you know, and, you know, to get him to the point, to be, you know, to where he would understand when I would say, you know, go, whatever he has for you to do, do it.
Amen.
You know, to have him know it and see it and go, wow.
His parents have but one function in life, and that's to raise their child so that that child knows that Jesus Christ is in them and he is their life. Anything else is vanity upon vanity, because all you are doing is trying to eat the flesh of your children. By, oh, come on, let's go, you know, all of the stage mothers and the little league fathers, they're just eating the flesh of their children because of their own miserable lives, so they have to go out and play games and eat the flesh of their children to give their life meaning. God has no part of that. But they do it so sanctimoniously. And so do you, you that have children. Beware of eating the flesh of your children.
Not Mother's Day yet.
Yeah.
Do we have to come on Mother's Day? Can we wait till close?
Why?
Just have a Mother's Day.
What's going on in the evil corner?
Evil corner.
Evil. Evil.
Father's God.
Say it right.
Evil. Huh?
My favorite Mother's Day story is the one in the scriptures where Christ was talking. He had a full house, and his mother showed up outside in one of the seats in the front row.
Christ said, that's not my mother.
Wait in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Isaiah 50, don't go anywhere, just listen. You've been barren. Because you've not brought forth fruit. You've spent your entire life working for self. Fruit can't come from work. Fruit comes from rest. And because you have worked and brought forth nothing that has any enduring value, you've been barren from God's standpoint. Now you can be fruitful. Only because He has taken upon Himself everything. And He has completed the course, and He is the way, and He is the life, and He is the truth, and He is resident in this vessel and in your vessel. And as you rest, that fruit is brought forth. So now you don't have to worry about working, because your work has brought forth nothing but barrenness. So now sing, O barren, thou that did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that did not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate, the world, than the children of the married wife, the New Jerusalem, Israel, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent. It's take off those dumb boundaries that you've put by your imagery, by your ideas, by your opinions. I mean, does anybody have an opinion or an idea that's of value? If you do, tell me. We'll have some fun tonight.
I have an idea. My idea is that no ideas have any value.
Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Stretch forth the curtains of, open this thing that you call a mind. Get rid of the idea that you're not bound by time and space any longer. You can be with Moses or John or Ezekiel or the other places, people who in an instant saw. And in that split second of time, everything in the universe made sense. And they knew that they were an heir of all things. All things they owned. You own all things. So enlarge, get rid of this idea, oh, poor me. Stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords. To the edge of the universe, and they still won't be big enough to encompass what's resident within you. Thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles. The seed of Christ within you. And make the desolate city, the desolate place to be inhabited. Fear not, thou shalt not ever again be ashamed. Neither shall I be confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth. It says, gone as far as the east is from the west. And shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. For thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. And the God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. Remember the hot seat?
No. The what?
Remember when every one of you was in the hot seat? And with every one of you, without exception, there was a moment when you felt that everything was gone. Some of you felt it harder than others because you had harder hearts. We don't have a new degree of difficulty. We have a tie in degree of difficulty now between Harry and Tom.
Harry was trying to get it to him.
For those of you who, the hot seat experience is the time in which your false identity is exposed to the light and then killed. And so everybody, that's what we've been doing the last 2 months, is killing everybody. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that from this moment forward I will not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, the hill shall be removed, but my mercy shall not depart from thee, and neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, not comforted, behold, I lay thy stones with fair colors and thy foundations with sapphires. I will make thy windows as precious stones and thy gates carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, for that thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall never come near to thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together against you, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. It's heavy duty. Doesn't say whether you're right, wrong, or indifferent. Whoever shall gather together against you shall fall. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and it bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is ever formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. And this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, whose rightness is of me. Understand? The definition of the servant of God, the definition of the bride of God, the definition of Israel, the definition of the church, is but one who lives the fact that their rightness is of him. You never again have to justify yourself for anything. You have been bought with a price, and from this moment your life is not your own, and through time in this experience you will learn to stop trying to be a counsel to God by your stupid ideas and plans. You will quit it. You will live in abandonment, You will be in peace, and no evil can come against you. You shall not be ashamed. You shall not be confounded. The promise is that you will understand all things, but you shall be understood by no one. So enlarge the place of thy tent. Stretch forth the curtains. What that's talking about in the spirit is destroying the pillars and the ideas that we have about God, about this covering. So over the next few days, each one of us are going to destroy whatever it is you think God should be, or God's stuff should be, or the body should be, so that we can move out as one in faith. And I I'm not throwing down the gauntlet, but I mean, if you believe that you have a right idea, say it, and we'll challenge it. Not to make anybody right, but so that we can move out in abandonment of self as individuals and self as the body. So that you no longer, I mean, it's time. Amen?
Amen.
And to liven, to spice and up the thing periodically.
Spicing.
Crizzle doesn't have to put up with this.
I think I just heard a body pillar about how Crizzle doesn't have to put up with this.
Hope doesn't have to put up with this. I'd make a kind... I'd make a kind and benevolent king.
You look so stupid in those. Yeah, wear holy underwear, little slippers with bells on them, and you wouldn't do it. If you'd wear slippers with bells...
People would still
have noticed. They wouldn't be able to breathe because they'd be laughing so hard.
If you wore a cone head.
That's right.
Yeah. Nobody would teach you.
How about if I wore a double knit suit?
No. 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 We can start by lightning.
A Greenland to match the room.
They cause cancer.
Yeah, we could make it an ugly green to match the decor.
No, it has to be sherbet.
How about orange
and
green? That's the ticket.
That's anybody have any thoughts?
None of value.
Are you kidding? You got to be kidding.
I'm glad Paul is here.
I have, and I've stated it so often that it's become
stupid.
Is the continual desire for a forum, whether it be a radio show or whatever it is. And I have to get rid of that. This is the forum. And if anything else happens, then praise God. But that has been a hindrance to my own peace of mind, because I keep thinking that it's I can get really religious about it to my mind, you know. I can convince my mind. My mind's subtle. You know, God wants me on the radio. Right. Or, you know, then man, I mean, you know, this is the desire of my heart. I don't need anything else.
Yeah, if you want to get on the
radio. And we don't need anything but what has been provided.
Oh, I can get you on the bulletin board if you want.
We don't need that.
Now, the other thing is, I too would like, I don't want us to live together, but I'd like to have a place where we can go for feasts in the country, and people can live there if they wanted to and raise.
This is a good one, and we don't need to get rid of it.
But we have to get rid of it. Because we have whatever we need, we have.
You know, I was I think about that sometimes. I think about, you know, the church in Jerusalem sitting around there, well, you know, I wish we could go out in the country.
You know, they had the country. You know, I mean,
but my point to you is that we have to enlarge the place of our tent, because every idea that we could have isn't big enough. And so any idea that we have, no matter how righteous it may sound, is bullshit.
But because we're saying God would do better,
right?
We would become a body faster, whatever
right.
it is.
Right, and we're being God's, and we're being God's counselor. We're telling God now, God, we could do this better than you can. I mean, I didn't have anything to do with all these people here. I don't know how the hell any of you got here when I think about it.
Neither.
I mean, they're totally different backgrounds, stupid ideas. I wouldn't have anything to do with most of you.
Really,
you know what occurs to me, Elliot? You're going to keep preaching, so interaction-wise, we in the body don't have one damn thing to talk about. You know, because I've thought about all the conversations we've had about radio shows and all the shit, you know?
Well, the other thing...
You just said something, though, that's been fascinating about 10 minutes earlier. You said any thought, any image you can have of God or about God is wrong.
Right.
That didn't really communicate to me, but what I heard, what I hear inside my head is any thought or image I can have of God isn't big enough.
That's right.
And isn't good enough.
Right. Yeah.
Right. You're satisfied with second best.
I can't even conceive of the distance from here to the moon.
I can't even conceive of the distance from here to North Park.
I can't even conceive of the distance from here to the coffee pot.
Well, I can't conceive of the distance from
here to
the
bathroom.
You're
not home. So, since whatever your prayer request it is, it's spoken. And speak it, knowing that whatsoever you say shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. Don't think of prayer as a time. Think of it as a state of being. I'm going to stop having prayer request time, because I want you to begin to see that you just have to speak.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, large person.
I don't have any prayer requests.